Which takes me to number 7. Not only does the extended context favor the physical departure understanding, but the immediate context favors the physical departure understanding. What do I mean by the immediate context? What is this particular paragraph about? I mean, what is Paul talking about in this paragraph in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verses 1 through 3? Now, verse 3 is preceded by verse 1. Do you all agree with me on that? Verse 1 comes before verse 3. You see the cutting edge insights you get here at the Awake to Israel conference? I mean, this is cutting edge stuff. You say, what do we learn at this conference? We learn verse 1 comes before verse 3. Now, what is Paul talking about in verse 1? Now we request you, brethren, regarding the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our what? Gathering to Him. In fact, gathering there is epi-synagoge. Can you recognize a Jewish word coming from that word? Synagogue, which is a Jewish gathering. And here he's talking about a gathering in the sky. So his whole point here is the rapture. So since the noun and verb can both be understood as a physical departure, the immediate context, does it not, calls for me to supply a physical departure understanding of the noun apostasia. Context is king. And I'm just giving you more evidence why I'm leaning in this direction, that the apostasia is referring to something physical. Now, verse 3 is followed by verses 6 and 7. You guys agree with me on that? That verses 6 and 7 come after verse 3. So, go down to verses 6 and 7, and somebody tell me, what is he talking about there in verses 6 and 7? And now you know what restrains him, participle restrainer, neuter here, so that in his time he will be revealed, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now restrains him, same participle, now it moves from neuter to masculine, will do so until he is taken out of the way. What in the world is he talking about? And who is this restrainer? Some say the restrainer is Rome. But Rome is gone and the restrainer is still here. Some people say the restrainer is Satan. But didn't Jesus say a house divided against itself cannot stand? Why would Satan resist the Antichrist, who was Satan's man of the hour? Some say the restrainer is human government. Does human government restrain evil? I don't know if people in Iran or Saudi Arabia would agree with that. Some say the restrainer is Michael the Archangel. But when you go over to Jude verse 9, you'll learn that Michael the Archangel doesn't like to get into open contests with Satan, which apparently is something this restrainer here is doing. So who is this restrainer? You know who the restrainer is? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. Why do I believe that the restrainer here is the Holy Spirit? Because whoever is holding back the Antichrist at the present time must be all-powerful, omnipotent. Because only omnipotent deity could hold back Satan's man of the hour, who will be displayed with counterfeit signs and wonders that we read about in verse 9. And this is talking about one of the Holy Spirit's great ministries in the world. The Holy Spirit has ministries in the believer, He has ministries in the church, but He also has ministries in the world. And we know from other verses that the Holy Spirit does a lot of things in the world. The Holy Spirit was striving with man for 120 years. In the days of Noah, before the flood came. The Holy Spirit is convicting men and women of their need to trust in Christ. He's got a ministry to the unbeliever. John 16, verses 7 through 11, And this is talking about another ministry that the Holy Spirit has in the world. He's holding back the Antichrist. Also, the Holy Spirit handles really well the switch of the participle from neuter, verse 6, to masculine, verse 7. Because the Greek noun for spirit is pneuma, neuter. But didn't Jesus frequently refer to the Holy Spirit in the upper room as He? When He comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so the switch from neuter to masculine is handled very, very well if you understand the restrainer as the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you a question. Where does the Holy Spirit live right now? He's in us for how long? Forever. So what is Paul saying? The Antichrist can't come to power as long as the church is here. Because the restrainer is the work of the Spirit that holds back the Antichrist through the church. In other words, the Antichrist can't come to power and will not come to power. You won't even know who he is until the restrainer is gone, the Holy Spirit is removed, in this ministry at least. And if the Holy Spirit is in me forever, who else has to be removed? The church. So the restrainer holds back the Antichrist. The restrainer is the omnipotent Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit permanently indwells all Christians. So all Spirit indwelt Christians, and there is no other kind. As J. Vernon McGee said, you're either a saint or you're an ain't. I mean, you can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit, right? If you're not born spiritually, you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter where you go to church. But if you are regenerated by the Spirit, you're a Christian. Amen? You may be a Methocatha Baptarian or a Bapticostal Fundamatic or whatever you are. If you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, you're a Christian, right? So all Spirit-indwelt Christians must first be removed before the Antichrist can come to power. That's why it's a total and complete waste of time to figure out who the Antichrist is this side of the rapture. Here's a quotation from Irenaeus, very early church father, rebuking people for trying to guess who the Antichrist is. He's saying you can't know. And ever since I came of age as a Christian, everybody has told me who the Antichrist is at certain stages. In fact, the very first president I had a chance to vote for when I turned 18, voting age in the United States, is Ronald Reagan. I proudly cast my vote for Ronald Reagan, and my brothers and sisters in Christ said, you just voted for the Antichrist. I say, well, why do you say that? Well, Ronald has six letters in it. Wilson, his middle name, has six letters in it. Reagan, his last name has six letters in it, 666. Then Gorbachev came and everybody said he was the Antichrist. Saddam Hussein came along, everybody said he was the Antichrist. And then we had a guy in the United States named Bill Clinton. And everybody said he's the Antichrist. And I said he's not the Antichrist. I had wised up. And they said, well, why don't you think Clinton is the Antichrist? I said, well, Daniel 11 says the Antichrist won't have the desire for women. And so that kind of ruled Clinton out. But the reality of the situation is what Paul is saying here is you can't know who the Antichrist is while the church is here. But one of these days the church is going to be removed, then everybody will know who the Antichrist is. You see that? You see the context of 2 Thessalonians 2? Verse 1, rapture. Verses 6 and 7, rapture. Well, what do you think I ought to do with verse 3, since the word apostasia can go either way? I think I'm going to supply a rapture interpretation of verse 3, because the immediate context tells me to do that.